Good morning. Today we continue, second week of our experience of doing church digitally. And so church, we're committed just to continuing to engage you in this season while we are unable to gather face to face. We look forward to doing that again as soon as possible. No one knows how long it's gonna be that we're doing church like this, but we're committed to engaging you both on Sundays and throughout the week in many ways. And so continue to check out our updates as we keep you posted on our response to the coronavirus and how we're gonna continue just to thrive as a church, even as we're doing it digitally. Last week, we kicked off a series called Finding Hope. And we talked last week all about the fact that God is our hope. And so because of that, Christians should never be hopeless. Maybe you remember our key verse for this series that we're memorizing together. Let me read it for you, and then we'll read it all together. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this, says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's say it all together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And today what I want to talk to you about is, what does it look like to find hope even in a difficult moment? For some of us, this may be one of the most challenging seasons that we walk through throughout our whole lives. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how it's going to affect the economy. We don't know if we're going to get sick or someone that we love is going to get sick. This is a difficult moment for all of us. And so how do we continue to walk in hope even in the midst of a difficult moment? And so I want us to look today at a story in the Old Testament. It's the story of a guy named Gideon. It's found in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And so here's the big picture. In the book of Judges, what we see is over about a period of about 300 years, God's people were in a pattern where they would wander from God, and then difficulty would come. And then that would cause them to turn back to God. He would raise up a deliverer called a judge who would lead them to freedom and prosperity. And then for a while, things would go pretty great. And then they would wander away from God again and repeat this pattern. And so what we see here is previously there had been a judge called Deborah who God had used to deliver his people. And they had been over this previous 40 years experiencing peace, but now they've wandered from him. Things have gotten difficult. These people, the Midianites, have invaded. There's these series of invasions, and they're overwhelming the people of God. And so now they're in this moment where they're crying out to God again, and he's raising up this deliverer named Gideon. That's where we catch up with this story. And so in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, let me read it to you. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press. Just a little bit of context of just how difficult the situation was. And so while the people of Israel, whenever they would gather up the harvest or whenever they would prepare the wheat, the Midianites would come and invade and take away the crops. And so what's happening here is Gideon is threshing out the wheat, but he's not doing it in the place where you would normally doing it. He's threshing out the wheat in the wine press, which would be a much smaller place and not a very effective way to do it, but he's doing it so that he can hide from the Midianites because he's afraid. And so it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, this is ironic because at this moment, Gideon doesn't feel like a mighty man of valor. He's scared and he's hiding. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? People even today are asking questions like that. If God, why is God letting this sort of thing happen? And we know as Christians, it's because we live in a broken, fallen world, and we await that moment when Jesus will make everything that's wrong in the world right. But until that moment, we live in this broken, fallen world. And so Gideon says, if God's really for us, then why has all this happened? And then he says, and where are all of his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. So what we see here is this, that Gideon is so focused on his current difficulty, he's unable to really recognize God's faithfulness in the past. He says, if God's really good, then why is all this happening? And he says, and he's lost sight of God's goodness in the past. And so if I'm going to find hope, even in a difficult moment, it's important that I dwell on God's past faithfulness more than my present tough circumstances. And so in this moment, while many of us find ourselves cooped up, many of us, we can't go out to eat, we can't go and see a movie, the economy seems to be tanking. It's a difficult moment. We're wondering, are we going to get sick? And it's so easy because we're surrounded by everywhere we turn, whether it's cable news or social media, everywhere we turn, we're reminded of this difficult circumstance. Coronavirus this, coronavirus that. People getting sick one place, people dying another place, the market tanking. And it's easy to get so hyper-focused on our difficult circumstances. But what we would all do well to do would be to step back and remember God's faithfulness in the past. Even in this moment, I find myself remembering the some of the challenges that so many of us faced through the recession and the challenges that we as a church faced, walking through the incredible economic difficulties from like 2007 to 2012. And I remember how even then, when the church was so much smaller and we saw record unemployment here, how God was faithful and took care of us all the way through that time. And so I would encourage you in the midst of this difficulty to focus less on your present difficult circumstances, to focus less on coronavirus and to focus more on God's goodness, to focus more on God's faithfulness in the past, how he's shown himself strong and faithful in your life in previous moments. Let's keep looking at this story. In Judges chapter 6, verse 14, it says, and the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord. So Gideon replies, he says, how can I save Israel? See, Gideon up to this moment is not this great man of strength and man of valor. He's not some sort of great commander. He's a regular guy who's scared of the Midianites like everybody else is scared of them. He says, God, how can I do this? How can I lead your people? How can I overcome the Midianites? How can I do it? And he says, behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. He says, man, I'm a part of a small group. He says, our family's not strong. Our family's not known as being all strong or powerful. And then he says, and I am the least in my father's house. He says, I'm from a weak family and I'm the weakest person in my family. He says, how in the world can I do this? I feel too weak. And in the midst of a difficult moment, I need to focus more on God's power than my own feelings of weakness. And maybe in this moment, you find yourself feeling more vulnerable than you felt in a long time. You feel vulnerable financially. You feel vulnerable physically. You feel the vulnerability that it is that to be cooped up with your kids for days on end, thinking, how am I going to make it? You feel sort of like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. It's this, you feel vulnerable on in every front. And so in moments when I feel weak, I have choices to make. When I feel weak, I can have the choice of just denying it, pretending I don't feel weak. A lot of times we men fall into that. Those moments when we feel the weakest, we put on this macho exterior just to deny the feelings of weakness. And really, that's not the best thing to do. Or when I feel weak, I can hold on to it. And I can allow it to define me and to limit me. This is what Gideon's tempted to do. He says, I'm from a weak family. I'm the weakest person in my family. He's saying, God, you've got the wrong person. I can't lead your people through this moment of deliverance. I'm not the one to overcome the Midianites. He says, I'm too weak. And he's allowing that to define him and to limit him. And so in moments where we feel vulnerable and weak, we can deny it, pretend it's not real, which is not the healthy thing to do. Or we can allow it to define us and to limit us. Or what I can do is I can take my weakness to God and allow his power to replace it. We see the Apostle Paul in a moment where he's feeling weak and vulnerable. He's got this problem. Many people think it was probably blindness. And he's just crying out to God. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He tells us what God said to him. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is God's message to us when we feel weak. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says this. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I take my weakness and give it to God, what he exchanges it with Christ's power resting upon us. He says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. What Paul's saying is he says, I've begun to be content even when life's incredibly difficult. Why? He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so in this moment of weakness, no reason to deny it. And no reason to allow it to define you or to limit you. The thing that we do is we take it to God, who then replaces it with his power. Let's continue in the story. In Judges 6, verse 16, it says this. It says, and the Lord said to Gideon, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. In difficult moments, if I'm going to find hope in the most difficult moments of life, what I need to remember is that God is with me, especially in the toughest of times. Especially in the toughest of times, I can have the knowledge that God is with me. Because we see over and over and over again in the scripture, this is what we see. In these moments in life where when we're weak, God's strength shows up against unstoppable, very challenging types of odds. And he says, the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from me here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said, take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. Here's what it is. This angel of the Lord, theologians usually believe that this is what's called a Christophany. It's an Old Testament appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. It's Jesus making a cameo in the Old Testament. And so what we see, this angel of the Lord, most likely Jesus, what he's doing is he lights this broth and this meat on fire, showing his power and his presence. And so we see this principle that when life is most difficult, I've got to remember that God is with me. I love what it says. And then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. What Gideon recognizes is he has just come and encountered God. And then Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. What happens when I recognize in the most difficult moments that God is with me, it brings incredible hope. And in this time, we're all feeling a little bit disconnected. Many of us are finding ourselves cooped up, not able to be around people as much as we would like. Maybe you're feeling disconnected, or maybe you're feeling a little bit lonely. And I just want you to know, in the midst of this difficult time, that God is with you. And what we see in this story is that if God is with me in this, that God is with me in this difficulty, and that nothing is too difficult for him. Let's keep reading the story. We see here, and it keeps on in chapter 6, verse 25. It says, that night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. So here's what we see. God shows up and he says, hey, listen, what you're to do is your father has got some idols, an idol to this false god Baal. Baal was this false god, and the worship of Baal was typified by both prostitution and sexual immorality and even child sacrifice. It was incredibly wicked. And so Gideon's own father had these idols, these Asherah poles that were all a part of this Baal worship. And then God says, listen, go and tear it down. So here's the principle, that in a difficult moment, if I'm going to find hope, I need to remove anything in my life that could be holding me back spiritually. Anything in my life that might not be honoring God. And so what God says to Gideon, he says, listen, if you're going to lead my people into victory, well, what you need to do is you need to remove anything in your life that doesn't honor me, things that are holding you back spiritually. It might be that maybe you're in a relationship that you know doesn't honor God. It's clear. This relationship you're in doesn't honor God. You've known it for a long time, but you just haven't wanted to let it go. And so for you to experience victory and hope in a difficult time, it might look like ending that relationship. It could be something else in your life that is rivaling God for his full allegiance in your life. It could be some habit that's holding you back from experiencing all that God has for you. But if I'm going to find hope in a difficult time, I've got to be willing to let go of those things in my life that are holding me back spiritually. And here's the final principle, and I believe this is very important for us in this moment. If I'm going to find hope in a difficult time, I need to embrace the incredibly uncomfortable feeling of depending on God. See, what happens in this story is at this point, the Midianites are outnumbering the people of Israel, the soldiers of Israel, by about 4-1, by more than 4-1. There's about 135,000 Midianite soldiers, and there's about 32,000 soldiers of Israel. And so here's what God does. God says, even though you're already outnumbered more than 4-1, I want you to go into this battle with less soldiers. So the first thing he tells Gideon to do is he says, go to the soldiers and say, hey, listen, we're already outnumbered 4-1. Some of you are scared. And so if any of you are scared to go into this battle, you don't have to go. Go home to your wives and your families. And so immediately 22,000 soldiers said, hey, listen, I don't want to be a part of this loss. I don't want to die today. And so 22,000 of the soldiers went home. So now it went from being down outnumbered 4-1 to now they're outnumbered more than 13-1. There's 135,000 Midianite soldiers and only 10,000 of the children of Israel. And so the next thing God does, as we see in Judges chapter 7, verse 4, it says, the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. Anyone who I shall say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps. It's a pretty funny visual, this idea of all these soldiers just putting their mouths on the water and lapping it up like a dog. He says, anyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. So here's what God says. He says, everyone who kneels down, send them home. Everyone who laps up the water like a dog laps up water, they're going to be the ones that are going to fight with you. So now there's just 300 men left. So there's 135,000 Midianites. There's only 300 soldiers of the people of Israel, and then they go in, and God brings them the victory. So why did God do that? Why did God say, instead of having 35,000, 32,000, you're going to only have 300? What it was all about was showing that he was the one bringing the victory, and it was all about about Gideon, these soldiers, and the people of Israel being dependent on God. He was placing them in a situation where they had no choice but to depend on God for the victory. And listen, I really believe that obviously there's a whole lot of really terrible things about this coronavirus. I wish it wasn't here. I long for the moment where in the new earth there'll be no more viruses, no more sicknesses like this. There's terrible things. People are getting sick. People are dying. People are experiencing incredible poverty. I really wish this wasn't here. It's terrible. But at the same time, I believe if we look for it, there are some gifts being given to us in this moment. See, what the Bible teaches is that when difficulty comes, even if it's stuff that's not good, even if it's stuff that's not God's will or God's best, that God still brings good out of it. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us, for us to count it all joy when trials of many kinds come. Now, a couple things. He doesn't say if, because it's a certainty. There's going to be some trials. And then he goes on to talk about how God uses these trials, that in every difficulty, as difficult as it is, that there can be gifts in the middle of the difficulty. And I believe that this coronavirus, as terrible as it is, and I can't wait till it's gone, that this coronavirus is giving us two remarkable gifts. And for many of us in American suburbia, God may be giving us the two gifts we need the most. See, one gift that we're receiving from the coronavirus, many of us, is we're receiving the gift of time and simplicity. See, most of us, the way suburban life goes, is we work hard and we play hard, and our kids have got activities every day of the week. And what many of us have found is soccer seasons being canceled and volleyball seasons being suspended, and we can't run and go and do all the things we normally do, and we're having to work from home. And many of us have found more time than we normally have and more simplicity than we normally have. We're at home with our families. And if we will allow ourselves to see it, this gift of time and this gift of simplicity is meeting one of our greatest needs. Because what many of us do is we keep ourselves so busy that we end up experience rich but relationship poor. And in this moment, we have this gift of time and simplicity. And the second gift that we're given, which may be the gift that we need the most, many of us, is this gift of an awareness of how dependent we are on God. It's what this is showing us is that it's showing us how we can't depend on the government. They can't solve all of our problems. It's showing us how the fleeting nature of wealth, that we can't depend on our 401k. We've all seen those things drop 20 or 30% the last couple of weeks. We can't depend on our wealth. It's here and then it's gone. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't lay up treasure on earth because it doesn't last. And what we're seeing is this visual picture of I can't depend on my wealth. I can't depend on the government. It's showing us how small we actually are. I don't know about you, but I sort of thought that something like this probably couldn't really happen in America. I sort of thought that between our medical advances and our infrastructure and our government, I couldn't have imagined. If you told me 3 months ago that there was going to be this virus which was going to bring our nation to a halt, I would have said, there's no way that can happen. But what coronavirus has shown us is that we're smaller than we realize. What coronavirus has shown us is that the feeling of being in control is merely an illusion. And the feeling of security is merely an illusion. And the feeling that our government can protect us from anything that might come against us is merely an illusion. And the feeling that our wealth can protect us from anything that would come against us is merely an illusion. And so there's this gift of God dependence. And that's the gift that God was giving Gideon when he said, hey, you're not going to go up against these guys with 4-1 odds. He says, you're not going to have 32,000 soldiers to their 135,000. You're going to have 300. And so that you would know that it's me that you need, that you're not going to trust in your own resources, your own wisdom, your own strength, or your own power. You're going to trust in me. And so I believe that if we'll look for it, there are some gifts that we can receive even in this moment of difficulty. And so I want to challenge you This is a difficult season. This is a difficult moment. But if we together will press into the God of hope, that we can still have incredible hope and victory, even in the midst of incredible difficulty. Let me pray for you. So, Father, we do just confess again that you are our hope and that you're our only hope. And Lord, we do ask you again that even by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would fill us up with hope. And God, even in the midst of this difficulty, that we'd be able to find hope as we reflect on your faithfulness, as we reflect on the fact that you're strong even when we are weak, when we lay aside those things in our lives that are holding us back spiritually. And God, as we just embrace being dependent on you, that we're not strong enough, we're not smart enough, we don't have all, our money isn't sufficient, the government's not sufficient, that we are depending on you because you are our only hope. And it's in you that we find hope and victory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.